So, hi, this is Jackie Rom and an episode of Life of a Crime Novelist. So, I'm currently in the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, as the Americans say. And when I came out here last time, I was introduced to a gentleman called Lee, who comes from the same town I live in. It was such a coincidence. And it was really funny because when we met, we knew all the same people. And so the coincidence was amazing. All that way, that, you know, that far away, and meeting somebody that's in the same town. So he'll tell us in a minute, but Lee is in the middle of an amazing adventure. And I'm going to let him tell you. Well, I'll ask questions, but you'll hear what he's up to. So, Lee.
Hello, this is Lee.
Hi, Lee. So you bought a boat.
Yeah, we were looking around because I was going to do a development here and decided that I wasn't really interested in renovating a house. And then with what's going on around the world with coronavirus and everything else, I already did a development on a boat in France and then wanted to turn a boat or a ship or a yacht into a total eco conversion so that you could live virtually off-grid anywhere in the world.
Yeah, but the unusual thing was this one, Lee, when you found it was sunk.
Yeah.
It wasn't even floating, was it?
No, so I turned around to one of the guys in the yard where we've got all of our container and everything stored, and I was speaking to him, and I said, if you hear of any yachts or anything that are worth salvaging, then give me a heads up. And he said, well, how about the one that sank this weekend?
Do you know, that's just right place, isn't it? Right time.
Certainly was.
Did you know the owner?
No, but the guy had apparently had the boat at the yard where we've been mooring, but he wasn't paying his bills and it was a bit of a pain in the butt. So everybody had sort of moved him off of where he was staying, and he had annoyed quite a lot of people, which is part of how the boat ended up sinking.
So this boat is sunk. You know he's got a boat, but you've not seen it before.
No.
Did you see it when it... So what was described to you?
Brad said, go down to the airport and drive around the corner, look out, and you'll see the very edge of the back of a yacht poking out of the water. So I drove down on the quad and had a look at it and saw it there, and I got a speedboat. So I went and got the speedboat and put it in the water, and then drove down there with some snorkeling gear. Found where the boat was, tied onto the boat, and then jumped in the water and swam along it to have a look at it, and it was on the bottom of the lagoon.
Okay, so guys, let me just explain that Lee is a diver, so, you know, jumping in and doing things like that is not unusual. Well, you are a bit of a thrill seeker as well. You'll jump off of anything or in anything, really, won't you?
Yeah, preferably if there's sharks involved. I'm a very happy man. That's part of my passion out in the Caribbean, going out and diving with sharks.
And you fish, don't you, with a spear out here. You go and get dinner, don't you?
Yeah, my fiance is extremely happy if I come home with any food. So if I go out and spearfish anything, she's the happiest person ever.
But you got lobster a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, once you learn how to sight them and see them where they are on the bottom of the ocean, because they tuck right very close in underneath the caves. And I've done quite a lot of free diving training, because you have to be able to hold your breath for quite a long time. So I've sort of trained myself to be able to go down there and spearfish lobster.
Okay, so you're down there, you look at this boat, and does your brain go, I can get that up, I want to do something with that?
I looked at it and thought, it's absolutely bloody enormous, because it was like 50 foot long.
That's a big boat.
Mm.
All right.
And then Brad had told me a story that the Coast Guard had heard that the sounding beacon, an SOS beacon, had gone in the water, and that they had turned up at the boat and responded, and then they didn't seem to have got in contact with the owner. And then over the space of 3 or 4 days, they didn't realise over the weekend that it went down.
To be honest, there's a lot of sunken boats out here, isn't there? You know, we've had hurricanes and fires on boats and all different things. So there are boats everywhere. kind of sunken.
Well, there's sort of all the rest are in there from the result of Irma. Still yachts out there. There's still a very, very... Well, it's a huge 65-footer out there, that, but two people died on it.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, the daughter swam in during the hurricane, and the mother and father died on the boat, so that's still sitting in there.
Oh, how awful.
And that's not far away from where the boat I went to get is.
So, look, so let's carry on. You're under the water.
So I had a look and I couldn't see any.
And he's only been down about 3 days.
Yeah, at that point, probably only 1 or 2 days. And right. I swam around it and had a look and dived down all the way around it, and there wasn't any damage to the outside of the boat. So the only way it can have sunk, if something inside the boat was opened that allowed the boat to sink. So at this point, I came back and I told Martine that I was had seen the boat and was interested in seeing if we could buy it. Then I went and got a
GoPro. So did you have to buy it from the owner?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went and got a GoPro and I went out and I snorkeled in it again so I could film it to have a good look.
So I know what a GoPro is, but are there special underwater GoPros?
Standard GoPros will go down to 10 metres.
Oh, really?
And then they have to go into a casing to go if you're going to dive down more than 10 metres. But this is only shallow. The bottom was 4.2 metres to the bottom.
So we'll just explain. A GoPro is a tiny camera that you can take with you and you know, kind of works anywhere, but it's small. Yeah.
So I filmed it and had a look at it. Then we came back and Brad told me where the guy who owned the boat was living over on the French side. And he said he's either living in his car or living in a boat over at... I think it's called Toby's? It's Toby's Marina or In-N-Out Marina. It's something like that on the French side.
Okay, let me just explain for those that don't know. St. Martin is the only island that's split between two countries, which is the Holland and France. And we live, both Lee and I, live on the Dutch side.
So I've gone home, me and my fiance have gone over to find the guy in the yard. I'm trying to remember what his name was.
Nobody knows.
Ludo. And so we've gone over and I've said to the woman there in the yard, do you know where a guy called Ludo is? And she said, yeah, he's working and living on the boat.
Oh.
So we went up and somebody found him for us. And then he came over and I said, I'd like to talk to you about the boat. And he said, yeah, sure. I said, are you interested in selling it? And he said, yes, absolutely. That's my plan at the moment. And I said, well, can you come over? I'll get some diving gear and I'll come over and have a good look round it. And he said, why do you want diving gear? And I said, well, it's at the bottom of the lagoon.
He didn't know? Or pretended he didn't know?
No, he didn't know.
Wow.
And then he started crying and then he went and threw up.
Oh, my God, because the value of the boat's just crumbled.
It's not really worth anything at the bottom of the lagoon. I mean, it's worth what you can get for it.
The
rigging and the sails. And that was a discussion I had with Brad. Brad said that the rigging, the sails and the equipment on the boat were worth around about $15,000. So even if I bought it for $5,000 and then paid to have it raised, you still would be okay because you could sell the stuff on the boat to make your money back.
Okay, so let's move on a bit. So you've bought it.
No, let's go back slightly. So Ludo's thrown up. Then we've gone over to the boat with him and I've got him to draw some pictures. Ah, no, sorry. Ludo was going to come with us and I went to pick him up with my diving gear. And I got him to explain to me everywhere on the boat where there are valves coming through the hole or the rest, because he said the same thing as me. The boat cannot sink. It's impossible. There's no holes in it.
Oh.
So then he said, explain to me where the valves were inside the boat. So I then went back with my diving gear and this time I dived and managed to get inside the boat. But the whole of the inside of the boat was full up with wood, cushions.
Oh, really? Where it had floated, everything had floated up type of thing.
There was wire all over the place. So it's a very, very dangerous place to dive in. It doesn't matter that the boat's only 4 metres under the water. It's just it's a very, you know, it's a skill to dive in that type of environment because you get caught in everything. It's not something normal divers do. It's more of a trained wreck diver or somebody who deals in salvage would go in there.
So you've now gone down. Have you decided at this point that you want the boat?
Well, I looked around to try and see what the damage was, but I pretty much already decided I wanted it. When I dived inside, I took the GoPro again and I videoed diving inside the boat. And I dived around and found the engine bay, and then I had a drawing where the different valves were. And then I lifted up a panel next to the engine that was still wedged in, and found two valves there that had been were completely opened.
So hold on, that sounds a bit like they shouldn't be open.
No.
Sabotage.
Somebody 100%.
This sounds like this could end up in one of my books, Lee.
So the boat had 100% been sunk. And I videoed it so you could see the valves were open, and then I closed them. Then we went back and I spoke to Martine, and we said, okay, let's go and make an offer on it. So we went over and I offered him $1,500, and he...
Did he cry again?
He thought about it. He said that he had to deal with his wife as well, which we didn't understand.
Would he claim on insurance?
He wasn't insured.
Okay, right, okay.
That's probably part of the reason he threw up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in the end, we ended up agreeing on $3,000. Unbeknown to me, his wife had already contacted some of the people who do salvage on the island, and they had already given a price on raising the boat.
Really?
So they had already priced $6,000 to raise the boat off the bottom of the lagoon.
And so she knew it wasn't worth it?
Well, she already knew what it was going to cost to get the boat up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem with that is the guys that had quoted to raise it, I was going to ask them for a favour to try and raise it, because I know a lot of the guys here and have known them since the hurricane. And then nobody was interested in helping me because they had already priced doing the job for somebody.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
So... It ended up, I ended up calling in all the favours I could and ended up borrowing big lift bags and the equipment and speaking to a few people who said how to lift it, because I've never raised a boat in my life.
No, but hold on, let me just stop you for a minute. So the thing is, you're now doing this all on your own.
Yeah, I decided I'd...
Did you realise that that was a bit dangerous?
Most of it worked outside the boat. The dangers, they call them pinch points. And the danger is when you're working on boats like that, when they're laying on their side, or you're trying to get a strap underneath a boat that's laying on the floor of the ocean, is there's points in there where you have to try and drag yourself underneath the boat and get the straps underneath it. And that's a dangerous process.
Okay.
And if the boat moves while you're doing it and you get pinned underneath
and it's a big boat.
Yeah, then you're there forever and you don't come back up.
So it didn't happen first go, did it?
No. So I borrowed some big lift bags, and some people had told me the amount of lift bags that I would need to lift that vessel over from that depth, or it's not exactly the depth, the amount of size of lift I would need in kilograms to raise that boat. And I was told by one guy that it would require 2 6,000 pound lift bags.
Wow.
And we fitted them.
Hold on, you know what you're talking about, but are they the big balloons?
Well, these ones are like a huge pillow and they're sealed. So there's two different types. There's one type that has got an open bottom, so you attach it to the boat and then you put air underneath and you inflate it like a balloon, and the bottoms are open.
I can understand that.
And then the lifting pillows look like a giant air pillow, which you have to connect an airline to and then inflate them.
All right, and that's what you had.
Yeah, so I put two huge ones on the back and inflated them. There was lots of leaks in them and lots of problems, and even fully inflated, they only slightly raised the back end of the boat out of the water.
Right.
So then I went and begged, borrowed and stilled and managed to get some more lift bags. So I'm now into 2 days to 3 days, putting more straps around the boat and attaching more lift bags. But it's very difficult to get them on the boat because of its position in the water.
Yep.
So then inflated those, more leaks in the lift bag, so they kept on venting air and it wouldn't come up. Got into about day number 6, and on this time I'm working on my own, apart from one guy who's sitting on the boat sort of giving me a hand as and when he can.
Hold on, I'm going to stop you, because the one thing you did, which was clever, is you filmed a lot of this.
Yeah.
You set up a Facebook page. What's the page, in case anybody wants to go and have a look?
It's Utopia Eco Yacht Project.
Okay.
So
I've been watching since that happened because we saw you doing all this. It was fascinating.
Yeah, so I set up a page.
And
showing,
you were good at talking to camera as well and telling us what was happening.
So there's videos of me standing there going, 5 days in, nothing happened, the boat's still on the bottom, the arse has come up a few times and it's not moving.
Well, I think we were all willing you on.
But most of the days when I was coming out, because I was spending nearly 6 to 7 hours physically working and most of that under the water, I got out of the boat 4 nights in a row, and as I tried to get out of the speedboat onto the shore, I didn't even have the energy to stand up. I had to get out of the boat on my hands and knees just to even be able to try and stand.
So how long I've been working. How long did it take you to lift the boat?
It came up on day number 9.
Wow. Okay, so you've got it up.
Yeah.
And had you already got arrangements to take it somewhere to work on it?
When I managed to get it up, I instantly drained the salt water out of the engine and then filled the engine with diesel because I was trying to save the engine so that it didn't get rusted and was beyond use, because I was trying to save the engine because it's a very expensive part of the boat.
Yep.
So I did that. It was up and out the water. We did a video. Me and Martin were laughing and giggling because... I was over the moon. There's quite a lot of expletives in how excited I was about it.
You should have a warning when you join the Facebook page.
And
so you then take it to...
I arranged with a friend the next morning, again calling in more favours from other people. I said, can I take the boat over to the shore to clean the boat out and empty everything out of it and throw it away, all the stuff that's damaged?
Can I just ask... what percentage of the boat was actually damaged, interior-wise?
Virtually all of the original woodwork that was in it survived because it was such high quality and such a well-made boat originally.
I was going to say, how old was the actual boat?
It's 1983 and it came from Gdańsk in Poland.
And do boats... I know this sounds a really silly question. Do boats age? Do you know what I mean? Do they have a long life?
Different types. It depends on what the hulls are made out of. Wooden boats can require continuous maintenance their entire lifetime.
And what's this one?
They're a nightmare.
Fiberglass. Yeah. Okay, so you've got it up.
Cleaned it out. Then three of us went in there and scrubbed the whole of the inside down with antifungals, antibacterials. I got 1,000 litres of water and put it into a water cube and drove it down there on the truck so that we had water to flush the inside of the boat out. And then we basically pulled everything from inside the boat, and it's all covered in diesel and oil and everything, because when the boat sinks, it's got all the diesel in the tanks, it's got all the oil in the engine, so it comes out and it covers every single thing is covered in sort of like diesel and oil.
So how long ago did you lift it?
God, there's a question.
Was it Christmas?
No.
Before Christmas?
Before Christmas. It was...
I've been here too long.
Was it September?
Thank you, Martin.
September, apparently.
Oh, I was here then as well. That's when I went home. So now you're there every day, aren't you? Monday to Friday, you're there every day, both of you working hard on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I wanted to turn it into an eco project, so every single thing about it, I want it environmentally friendly, and I wanted to completely refit every single thing on the boat. So the whole boat has basically been completely gutted, and then I'm redesigning and rebuilding and reinstalling every single part of the entire 50-foot yacht.
Wow. So I've been watching you. Are you in the galley or the lounge?
Well, there's only one bedroom now. There's a master bedroom.
And is that where you're working at the moment? Because it's been really interesting to watch you fit that out.
The thing is with boats, it's different from houses. You go into a house, you've got walls that are square, you know where everything is. They've got, the walls are upright. On a boat, every single thing you cut, every panel, every part that you make, it has to be bespoke made to the angles and shape of the boat. And that means that you have to go in there and step by step have to create every piece. And it's 10 times as time consuming as a house.
And is everything refurbed? Do you know what I mean? Are you using old wood and old... No. Everything's new?
There's
what
one,
are you doing?
One or two walls or one or two parts of it that are bulkheads that exist that have stayed in, but 99% of it is just ripped out and started again.
Yeah, but sorry, what I meant is when you're building the wood you buy, is it reclaimed or...?
No, no, it's because of the way that it has to be rebuilt, you have to use marine-based hardwood core ply and things like that. But...
And at some in England, you have to have boat inspections and things like that. Does that happen here as well?
Yeah, exactly the same. They're very tight in the Caribbean with the certificates to allow yachts in the water. You have to have all the right safety equipment, all the right insurances, the coast guards here, because quite a lot of money's generated out of boats and yachting. It's one of the major earners for the island, so the coast guard is very hot on it. They'll come over, inspect the boats, and they have a fine tally for every single thing on the boat that's not there. They've got a tally.
Really?
Yeah, it happened to us on the speedboat.
Really? So does that mean that you're at the boat Chandlers all the time buying things?
Yeah.
Does your van know its own way there?
If you could buy it in a normal DIY store, you just add a zero if you've walked into a boat place, because they
it's extortionate.
It's mental, it's insane.
Yeah, because you have no choice.
If you have to buy things there and then, it's just unbelievable what the costs of them are.
So things like an oven, refrigerator or anything like that, I know the prices because I've done this on a boat. You know I've refurbed a narrowboat. It was really expensive in England.
In the UK, it isn't that bad. That's nothing compared to
here. Oh, really?
A gas oven here, a small, tiny gas oven, basic as you can get, is $1,800.
No! It's about £200 in England.
£1,800 for a boat in here.
So what will you do? Ship one out from England?
Because we're going eco, gas is not necessarily the most ecologically sound thing to use, because we're fitting solar cells and
I had solar
wind generators and everything like that.
I used biogel to heat.
Okay, yeah,
biogel, because that was quite just different.
Because this is like going to be, it's basically our house. You know, it's not just something we're going to casually live on. This is going to be our home for like the next sort of 5-10 years. So the comfort level of what we want in there, I want everything to be the same as it would be in a house.
Yeah, of course.
So everything with the ovens, the fridges, the freezers, rather, some of it will be, because they're called three-way devices. So you've got 12-volt gas or 240 volts.
Gotcha.
So we're not necessarily using those for all things, but the fridge freezers will be able to run on LPG and things like that. So when we go sailing, or when we go from island to island and we're not on the shore or connected to any power, then we can use all of that.
Gotcha. So this, I know how long's a piece of string, but I still have to ask, how long is this project going to take?
I think it's going to take at least until August, September to get the majority of the boat fitted out on the inside. Then it will have to come out of the water probably for the hurricane season, and before it goes back in the water, I will renovate the entire outside of the boat, which is probably a month's work for about 5 people. So that's going to be the next stage of it. So after I've done the outside of the boat and got that part of it done, then hope that will be when I start enjoying having a yacht rather than enjoying having a working project.
But it's such an exciting project. So I'm going to be watching the whole time. I hope some of you go on to Facebook and just say the name again.
It's the Utopia Eco Yacht Project.
And if you've got any questions, do message me on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and I'll pose those questions to Lee. Thank you for listening, and I will keep you posted with his story, because I just find it fascinating. So thank you so much, Lee.
Pleasure.
And we'll speak to you all again soon.